In photographs from the time, he looks like the underworld figures he idolized, the thin, mustachioed thieves and gamblers who filled the seaside bars of Athens and Constantinople. His nose was aquiline, his eyes sharp, the overall impression of his face hawk-like. When he smiled, however, you saw the softness in his eyes, which made it clear that Lefty was in fact no gangster, but the pampered, bookish son of comfortably well-off parents. That summer afternoon in 1922, Desdemona wasn't looking at her brother's face. Instead, her eyes moved to the suit coat, to the gleaming hair, to the striped trousers, as she tried to figure out what had happened to him these past few months. Lefty was 1 year younger than Desdemona, and she often wondered how she'd survived those first 12 months without him. For as long as she could remember, he'd always been on the other side of the goat's hair blanket that separated their beds. Behind the kulimi, he performed puppet shows, turning his hands into the clever hunchback Karayosis, who always outwitted the Turks. In the dark, he made up rhymes and sang songs, and one of the reasons she hated his new American music was that he sang it exclusively to himself. Desdemona had always loved her brother, as only a sister growing up on a mountain could love a brother. He was the whole entertainment, her best friend and confidant, her co-discoverer of shortcuts in monk cells. Early on, the emotional sympathy she'd felt with Lefty had been so absolute that she'd sometimes forgotten they were separate people. As kids, they'd scrabbled down the terraced mountainside like a four-legged, two-headed creature. She was accustomed to their Siamese shadows springing up against the whitewashed house at evening, and whenever she encountered her solitary outline, it seemed cut in half. Peacetime seemed to be changing everything. Lefty had taken advantage of the new freedoms. In the last month, he'd gone down to Bursa a total of 17 times. On 3 occasions, he'd stayed overnight in the Cocoon Inn across from the mosque of Sultan Ulham. He'd left one morning dressed in boots, knee socks, breeches, thulamis, and vest, and come back the following evening in a striped suit with a silk scarf tucked into his collar like an opera singer and a black derby on his head. There were other changes. He'd begun to teach himself French from a small plum-colored phrasebook. He'd picked up affected gestures, putting his hands in his pockets and rattling change, for instance, or doffing his cap. When Desdemona did the laundry, she found scraps of paper in Lefty's pockets covered with mathematical figures. His clothes smelled musky, smoky, and sometimes sweet. Now in the mirror, their joined faces couldn't hide the fact of their growing separation. And my grandmother, whose constitutional gloom had broken out into full cardiac thunder, looked at her brother as she once had her own shadow, and felt that something was missing. "So where are you going all dressed up?" "Where do you think I'm going? To Kozahan, sell cocoons." "You went yesterday." "It's the season." With a tortoiseshell comb, Lefty parted his hair on the right, adding pomade to an unruly curl that refused to stay flat. Desdemona came closer. She picked up the pomade and sniffed it. It wasn't the smell on his clothes. "What else do you do down there?"
"Nothing."
"You stay all night sometimes." "Well, it's a long trip. By the time I walk there, it's late." "What are you smoking in those bars?"
"Whatever's in the hookah. It's not polite to ask."
"Mother and father knew you were smoking and drinking like this." She trailed off.